Good morning, listeners, and happy Friday. It is May 25th, and welcome to the 12th episode of Bed and Breakfast. I have Davis Vandercook on the show today to talk to us about some of his silly slang when it comes to bowling, and we discuss and break down our favorite day of the week. So sit back and wake up to some bed and breakfast. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and happy Friday. Again, it is May 25th, and welcome to the 12th episode of the Bed and Breakfast Podcast, and I'm your host, Jake. Thank you for listening, and if you haven't listened to my very first Sunday brunch with my best friends Tom and John, we have all merged together to start our own little production with all these podcasts, and John and Tom have their very own podcast out called Goose Island Sports. So, it is officially up on iTunes. So, make sure you follow and subscribe to Goose Island Sports. Give them some love. Be sure to listen and subscribe to Goose Island Sports, a brand new podcast. Well, thanks for listening. And without further ado, here is Davis Vandercook. I'm here with my old teammate, an excellent, awesome, tall, great friend. Davis, how tall are you exactly?
6'7", 6'6", on a bad day.
6'7", all right. Well, it looks more than 6'7", but I'm here with Davis Vandercook. And Davis, thank you very much for coming on, my dude. What's up?
Not too much, man. Just the hump day, middle of the week. Thanks hump for having day? Me on, buddy.
Yeah, that's right, dude. Just trying to get by. So we're publishing this on Friday, but everyone knows we're interviewing on this Wednesday, Hump Day Wednesday. So, Davis, we're happy to have you. One of the first things we have to talk about is, well, first, foundation story. You and I, whenever we would hang out on, like, Sundays or on the weekend when it was near our old house where you used to live, we used to always play NHL on the Xbox. I mean, like, religiously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's where you handled the beef right there. You had something to say about somebody, just keep it to yourself, and you can let it out when you score that first goal.
Exactly. Like, you take out, you settle disputes on NHL. And, like, all of us friends, like, we've had disputes over NHL before. I mean, like, there was one time with the jumps, like, we got into it just playing Xbox one time, and it got, like, way too far. And it's like, man, this is really getting the best of us. But it honestly does. We love hockey. We love playing hockey. Let's first talk about how incredible the Vegas Knights are. I mean, like, they're in the Stanley Cup the very first year. How unreal is that?
Dude, it feels fake.
It does. It's like a movie.
Yeah, like, it's like an ESPN 30 for 30. Like, okay, this team's supposed to win it all, and, like, it's happening. And then they win again, and then they win again. And you're just like, all right, come on. Like, flurries. It's like there's two flurries in the net right now.
Right. Marc-Andre, hey.
Yeah, the guy's going to get a three-peat by himself. Thanks, Pittsburgh.
Did they have an easy road to the cup? I mean, their playoff, all the rounds in the playoffs, they weren't that easy. They weren't easy. I mean, regardless, the Stanley Cup playoffs aren't easy at all. But they had an incredible regular season. They had an incredible playoff run, and here they are the very first year with a bunch of scrubs. They're not scrubs, obviously, but the teams beforehand that they were originally on, they thought they were nothing. They weren't worth keeping. And here they are going to the Stanley Cup. I mean, is this a good look for the NHL, or is this really bad? I mean, like, hey, you got a bunch of nobodies. Again, not nobodies. Guys that weren't wanted. And here they are. They got together. How does it look for the other teams, if not the whole league?
Dude, I was glad we were talking about this because it disappoints me that it's surfacing in the news that people don't like it. It blows my mind, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. I love it. Like, nothing worse than being sent to an expansion team. You want to prove people wrong, but, like, let's be real. You're just a bunch of fourth liners and stuff like that. Like, yeah. Making a team and you're going to take years to rebuild. Like, these kids have been working their butts off. Like, you cannot take that away from them. Like, you got to be fully behind this. Like you said, it's a movie. Like, how can you not get behind this team? Like, I love it. It might not be great for the NHL because you got all those traditionalists that are like, oh no, they need to earn their time and all that. But no, that's a bunch of garbage. This is hype. I love it.
This
I'm about
is
to
hype.
Buy a jersey.
Yeah, heck yeah. They got great colors. They got a great atmosphere. I mean, it's Vegas. So they could do all the Vegas things they want. And a bunch of young, hungry guys that, I mean, yeah, they got a chip on their shoulder. Like, bro, my last team, they thought I was a scrub. Like, here I am. I'm on the second or third line on this expansion team. And here you are. You have literally nothing to lose. They have nothing to lose.
Exactly.
No expectations, no nothing.
Exactly.
They were expected to be really bad. And they're the complete polar opposite. That how could you not root for these underdog guys? I mean, it disappoints me too that people are hating on them.
Exactly. And like, just think about what it's like. I mean, how good is it for the fan base? Like, how better of a way to build a fan base than making it to the Stanley Cup finals in your first year? Like, mm-hmm. these fans don't know what to expect. Like, okay, are we just going to be the joke of the league? No,
sure.
You're an absolute riot and people want to be you. Like, you're in the Stanley Cup finals. It's hype. I love it. The NHL needs to back it. People need to back it.
Yeah, no, those are all great points. Do you think that more equally skilled, or if not more skilled players in the league, are they going to want to come to Vegas now to play? Or is it still going to be that little, we kind of shun the expansion team for a couple of years?
No, I don't think it's making other players salty at all. I mean, I don't think it's like that at all, where they'd have some grudge against like playing with those people, or, you know, having like be looked down upon for going there. But I don't think people are going to want to go there yet. I mean, that team's going to have to prove themselves for, you know, a couple years that they're going to be actually for real, you know, not necessarily make runs every year and stuff like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, they got to prove that they're not just going to be a laughing stock after this, because they were supposed to get good draft picks with doing bad this year. And safe to say they've ruined that.
Right. I think so. I mean, yeah, clearly I have to agree with you on that. And will this make Vegas itself now this tremendous hockey town now, because they have this bomb team that just showed up and these boys have nothing to prove? Will they even get enough to, if they make the playoffs again next year, are they officially a team that, like, they're the real deal? How long is it going to take for these guys to give that label?
Well, first of all, you threw out the term hockey town, and that's only a Detroit thing.
Oh, right, my bad, my bad.
No,
right,
no,
so
I'm
listeners,
no,
Davis is a huge Red Wings fan, where I am a big Blackhawks fan. And Davis, sorry, but both of our teams were terrible this year.
Oh, I know. I mean, gosh, I've got a Red Wings jersey in the closet, and safe to say that was not flaunted very much this season.
Not very much, right. Can the Knights even bring the hype and the popularity to Vegas? And could they even do that if they do a repeat the next year? Not a repeat to the Cup, but even just making it to the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've already done enough at this point. You've well aware got the attention of the fan base, and anybody that's interested in hockey around there and needs somebody to root for, like, they've already done enough. They might even be bad next year, but their fan base is still going to be there. I think that's for sure. It's only going to grow from here.
Sure, and a lot of people, it's growing already, obviously. And then you have your typical fans that are like, oh, you know, like, I like the underdogs. They're very good. And how cool is that, that it's a new team and they're an expansion team, right? And they're getting on the horse and they're making an absolute name for themselves. And I think that is what's really special about this team, is that it was a bunch of replacements, you know, just like the movie where a bunch of has-beens or people that teams didn't want, they got together and they are absolutely running train through everyone. And I honestly, I'll say it right now, you'll hear it, episode 12 of Bed and Breakfast, I hope the Knights win the Stanley Cup. I really do.
The only reason I'm not saying I hope they win, but like, if it's against Ovechkin and the Capitals, game 7's tonight, so we don't know yet.
Right.
Gosh, I got to root for Ovi. I want him to win one. He deserves it.
That's the both great stories if they were to end up in the Cup together. Both fantastic stories, but I'm standing by it. whatever, whoever the Knights are playing, I hope Vegas wins the cup. I really do. That would that would be a 30-for-30 documentary, a whole movie in the making if that ever happens.
They'd be playing clips from this. Oh, episode 12 of Bed and Breakfast. Called it, folks.
Taking a clip from this guy named Jake Bed on Bed and Breakfast, this amateur podcast. Right. I hope they do. So, yeah, ESPN, let me know if you guys want to use some of this, some of these clips for your documentary. So we have no problem with that. Davis Vandercook, Jake Bed, don't forget about it. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see on who Vegas is playing in the cup as well as what will happen. Oh, I can't wait for the first round. That's going to be so exciting. The Stanley Cup is like my favorite championship to watch for sure.
Oh, yeah. And it starts on Monday, I believe. Yep. So, like, what better way to spend your Monday night?
Exactly. Let's go.
And, like, imagine, like, I mean, you see how Ovechkin celebrates when he just scores a goal in, like, preseason or something like that. Can you imagine how he's going to celebrate if he scores, like, a goal to win the Stanley Cup?
Like, it's, like, scary. When he scores, like, I want to get out of the way.
But, like, it makes you want to, like, play hockey. You're like, yeah. Like, let's go. I want to be like that.
He gets rowdy. I mean, like, he probably loses his voice after big games where he gets a lot of points because, right, he's screaming, banging on the glass. It's like, oh, yeah, let's go. Like, I want to cheer for him, too, when he scores. It's very exciting. I do hope that his legacy finishes with a cup sometime. But, man, I don't know. This story sounds too good to be true. I really hope the Knights take it. That would be so awesome.
Yeah.
It would be unreal.
I feel that because they probably won't make it back for a while.
Yeah, exactly, right? This is, hey, guys, this might be like your one-hit wonder. Like, please don't mess it up. You never know, right? We don't know yet.
Exactly.
With playing, as well as playing NHL on the Xbox, we are old teammates of volleyball, so we love volleyball. Another thing that we have been participating in some adult leagues every once in a while, some adult beach leagues. We'll get to volleyball leagues after you talk to us about your bowling adult leagues that you're in.
Oh, yeah. Big bowler. Hide your girlfriend, boys. I'm coming for him.
Coming for that turkey.
But, no, yeah, I do a lot of adult leagues for bowling for sure. That's what I initially thought of when you said, like, adult leagues. But me and, like, actually the twins, Kyle and Kylan, shout out again.
Yeah, they'll be on soon. Shout out to the Jump Brothers.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a league together, beer league, on Wednesday nights with my dad and his dad and stuff like that. So that's hype. But, like, yeah, I took it even a step farther and realized, like, dang, I might be actually, like, decently okay at this. So I actually bowl in tournaments for money. It can be anywhere from, pay $40 to $100, and you can walk out of there, depending on the tournament, with $500 to $10,000, like there's one this weekend. Like, so, I mean, talk about a payday for doing something so childish as just, like, throwing a ball down the lane.
Sure, and, like, I know people that also participate in adult bowling leagues, and, you know, they go religiously. And, unfortunately, I don't think it's as popular as some would like it to be. And why is that the case? Because when you do bowl with friends or you're bowling in a league, it's honestly, in my opinion, a ton of fun. So why is it not as popular, and why do people even view it just like kind of how you said it, where it's like childish or just like, oh, like bowling? Like, why is that even part of the conversation?
Because people just, when you go like open bowl with your friends like that, you don't see it like anybody really doing it competitively. Like, you're just like, oh, dang, that person's kind of good. They got their own ball. That's kind of weird. Like, I'm just here hanging out. You don't think much of it. But, like, you know, and then all of a sudden, like, I mean, shout out to Audrey. She comes and watches these things, and she sits there, and it blows her mind. She's like, look how good these people are, like, all over the place. There'll be, like, 60 people in there that are just unreal bowlers. Like, so you realize, like, there's another world to it. So I just don't think the average person realizes that, like a lot of things out there, there's just a whole new world of competitiveness to things. Like, I mean, for volleyball, for example, like, I know we were talking about, like, why isn't volleyball as big, and I'm sure we'll get to that soon, but similar kind of stuff. Like, people just don't realize that, like, a good social activity can just hang out, and activity like that can be taken to, you know, a competitive aspect.
Right. And coming with that, all these leagues and those types of functions and events, you build a great community with people. So I can imagine you're in a community obviously you all share the same interests, but now you have a connection with everyone. And that's what's so special about these types of leagues. Regardless of how old you are, would you agree that's how it feels in your league?
Oh, yeah. That's how it is for sure. Like, you might not even have, like, a genuine conversation with anybody, but, like, everybody knows everybody. It's like one of those small towns where everybody still waves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. But, hey,
Bill, what's up?
Yeah, pretty much. But you'll never have a conversation like that. But, yeah, it builds a little sense of community and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. And it goes with any leagues. Like, it's just the camaraderie, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. the bowling's cool. Playing volleyball is cool, stuff like that. But it's just something to go do, look forward to during the week.
Nice. So some of my friends they do what you do. They participate in bowling leagues every by the week and whatnot. So they're really big into these bowling leagues as well. And I always ask them, and I want to ask you, what are some traditions or little tidbits, things that bowlers do, or some types of cheer or some type of slang that maybe someone that's outside of the community may not be familiar with? The one that I can think of is, like, you know, we all know obviously what a turkey is, but what are some other things that we as people that don't participate in the leagues don't know about?
I mean, there's not really that much, to be honest. Like, the thing that everyone's, like, aiming at is, like, called the pocket, technically, like,
okay,
for your righty. So, like, in between the first two pins, which would be, like, the 1 and 3 1 and 3 pin, because, like, they're numbered going, like, the first one, obviously, and then going left, like, so the next row, then the next row going over. So
yeah,
every
two,
pin
three,
has a number. So
there's,
like, a lot of – yeah, it goes 1, and then – so if you were looking straight on it, like, the next one to the left is 2, and then to the right is 3, then
you
go back to the left side of the row.
Yep.
Yeah, so, like, people refer to pins as, like, by numbers, and
good. This is
people
good.
Just be like, what are you talking about? Like, every pin's got a number. So, I mean, simple stuff like that, but – honestly, I mean, there's not that much, like, lingo or anything like that that really goes on. I mean, like, bowling pins are bowling pins and bowling balls are bowling balls. Like, there's arrows on the lanes that people aim at, but that's just all aiming stuff. Like, it's really not that special.
What kinds?
If that.
It does. No, I like, this is great, because if I want to talk to someone about bowling, if I could talk to someone about bowling, I'll be like, yeah, bro, I got that, like, 7-10 split because I hit it in the pocket on my first toss from, you know, the farthest arrow to the right. You know what I'm saying? I put a little English on the ball, and then bada bing, bada boom, I got a spare, right? So that will work. I'm in. I could come to a league event now and be like, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, just don't say, like, you're going to put English on the ball, though. Like, we're not playing billiards.
Yeah, darn, I tried. I thought that was going to be okay. I don't know. I'll think of something. I'll think of some, like, cool pickup line where people are like, all right, like, you're in, man. This guy's cool. I want to be that cool guy showing up to the bowling league.
Yeah, it's just like any sport. Like, man, we don't know if this guy's good yet, but, like, man, he's got his own ball. Like, that guy's sick. Or, like, and that guy, I don't know if he's good at volleyball, but, like, he's got the high white socks and the short shorts. Like,
nice.
That guy's probably
Jeez.
Sick.
The Velcro shoes, don't forget that. Do your do your long strides help with the not the toss, is it the roll,
just
the,
like,
release
that? No, I mean, it really doesn't do anything at all, honestly. It hurts my back more because I gotta get lower.
You're too tall, so you have to get lower when you roll. That's hilarious.
I mean, yeah, you just kind of release it as low as you can to the ground, and then that just, like, puts more strain on your knee. Like, I swear to God, I'm getting old, Jake. Like,
you have those
volleyball
knees as
volleyball.
It is. So, right, now you have bowling knees.
Yeah, I know. Out here, those knee compression brands are just looking to sponsor me right now because I'm rocking
gosh.
Them.
How funny. What other – are there any other superstitious routines that you do before you bowl? Like, do you tape yourself? Do you, like, pace? Do you take a couple, like, warm-up bowls? What do you do?
Warm-up bowls are, like...
I don't know. I'm just asking. Is that what they are? Warm-up rolls? Warm-up tosses, all right?
No,
is it?
You get warm-up, but, like, not before, like, each throw. Like, you get the warm-up before, like, the tournament or, like, the league night starts, like, for, like, 10 to 15 minutes. Like, before, and that, like, get loose and, like,
nice.
Figure out your line to that pocket we were talking about.
The pocket. 1 and 3.
1-3 pocket.
Yeah, I know all about it.
But superstition, I'm a huge superstitious person.
give us some.
Because I come from baseball, so like, oh man, like if somebody leaves a 10 pin, which like that's just kind of like another vocab thing. Like when you hook into the pocket and it's a good shot, but your what they call carry is not good. None of this makes any sense to people. I'm just like,
no, that's see, these are the questions I'm trying to get. Like this is part of an amateur journalist like myself on an amateur podcast. Is tell us these things. So you have to carry the ball to hook to the right on a 10.
The ball has to like go through the pins with like a bunch of power that's like stored up in it because there's like these weird shaped weight blocks in the, and like your carry just depends on all that. So
wait, there are blocks in the volleyball, in the bowling ball?
Dude, there are weight blocks in there and some of them are like symmetrically shaped and some of them are like lopsided, I guess you could say they're is what they are. So okay. Like they want to English more.
Yeah, okay, I get it now. I understand. So you pick out a ball. So each ball is made with a certain type of pieces inside them that yep. give it more hook, give it more carry. Ooh, right? How am I doing? Is
there's
that good?
More, yeah, you nailed it.
Yup.
There's like the core, what's called the core, like is like just the big weight block that's sure. in there that we're talking about. But then it also, what is the other big contributor is the surface that the bowling ball is made out of. There's like a half inch surface of like what's called reactive resin. So like you go to the bowling alley right now and you pick up one of those balls off the racks that are just sitting there. That's a house ball. That's plastic. It doesn't hook. Like it's not supposed to hook. Dude, I'm giving you the facts.
No, this is great. Keep going. Cause like, so when we use, so like the average guy, like myself, we use the house balls, right?
Yeah, okay. They're called just house balls. Just like, a plastic. Just provided like by the bowling alley.
Right, and you look for like something that like fits your fingers and like, yo, give me that 12, and like, boom, you're ready, right? So those are, yeah, it's like, a separate thing.
I mean, I hate those things. Those things are nastier than a McDonald's play place, but.
All right, so you have differences with bowling balls, and there's certain moves, curves, twists, turns, jumps, question mark, that go when you release them on the lanes, right? Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, no, that's real. That's real. Jumps, I mean, that's interesting. It does sometimes. Sometimes people throw it in the gutter so hard that it bounces back out in the lane, but that doesn't count.
Another question I have is about the technique from the release to your finishing move, because everyone has... All the listeners out there, next time you go to a bowling alley, don't watch people on how they perform and like their points. Watch people on how they finish their bowling move. I find it pretty funny because everyone has a different finesse, graceful little twisty move at the end. What on earth is the purpose for that? And why is that technique like that? Like, why do you have to do the right foot in the back and you cross it over and you have your arm sticking out like you're a little suave guy? Like, why is that the move? Why is it the finishing move?
I mean, that's just like, it means just like people are balanced. Like you throw your arm out to stay balanced. And like the reason like their leg kicks over, that's like how you get lower. Getting lower helps you generate like more power. Like
so short
passing
people,
a volleyball, it's not all arms. Like you use your legs too. So like in bowling, you get a lot of the power that people get for this hook from their legs.
So the shorter you are,
you get, the more leverage you get.
So the shorter you are, the more leverage you have.
I mean, no, not necessarily at all.
Darn.
You could still be short and not have like any knee bend whatsoever.
Okay.
This is too funny. I wish I could just like see the facial expressions of like everyone listening to this stuff.
Oh, you could hear it. Yeah, you could hear it in my voice right now. I'm just smirking. I'm like, you're teaching me things. I really appreciate you for doing this. So you could carry a ball depending on what's inside of it and how the spin goes. For example, if I want to hit a 10, which is the right corner, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so what other moves can you control?
You'd be using that plastic ball if you were going after the 10 pin like
that.
Right,
that's good to know, because I'm trying to enter into a bowling function soon, and we're playing for pink slips. Like we're playing for the big prize money, and I want to know these things. So can you like what else do I need to know going into this bowling event? What if I were to show up to one? Show to everyone that I know what I'm talking about. Do I need to have a glove? Do I need to have one of those gloves that people wear?
No. There's like wrist guards, and like I've never understood all that. looks too robotic to me. I'm just winging it raw. I don't have anything. Like, I just grab it with two hands and whip her down there. So tip to you. Dude, no, tip to you. Just walk in there and, like, if somebody looks at you and they're like, man, they just give you that judgmental look, like, you're not good, just say something that, like, you know, shows that you know, have no idea what you're talking about. Just be like, dude, I can't wait to, like, knock over your pocket or something.
Hey, watch your pocket, man. I'm coming for that 10. That's what I'll shout out to them.
See,
and I'll put my
about.
Wrist guard on, just and I'll like, hit him with my finesse finish move.
Oh, yeah, like wear a wrist guard, like, but like just like wear it on the wrong hand or something. Completely.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I'll put it on my left. I'll put it on my left. Like, just, and they're like, why is this guy wearing a wrist guard on his opposite hand? And I'll just be like fixing it like constantly. That's hilarious. Yeah. I wish someone could do that. I hope someone does that real soon. That's really fun. I find that very funny. I like that kind of humor.
That's
good. Thanks for the bowling lesson, man. You really hit us with some bowling knowledge. Is there anything else that you want to end with talking about bowling? How easy?
Nah,
I got a question. How easy is it to get over 100 points?
Oh man, if I did not bowl over a score of 100, I'd probably just stop. To be honest.
You would just
like,
end your career, no more bowling.
Yeah, I'd be like, that's no good. Like, I mean, but for the average person to go out there and get 100, I mean, it's harder than people think. People are like, oh, that looks easy. You just got to throw it down at the pins and knock them over. But then all of a sudden people are like throwing it in the gutter and they've got like a 50 in like the ninth frame. And you're like, yeah, you're sick.
Well, for us, for like, myself and other individuals that aren't as good as you, some people selly for a solid 100 like myself. So please be mindful for those that aren't as tall or as great of a bowler as you, Mr. Davis.
Dude, you should. No, that's like, I hate sometimes when people know that I even bowl, like when we did those volleyball fundraisers at the pins. And, like, yeah. I'd go out there and we'd just be, like, messing around, and I'd shoot, like, a 150, and you guys would be like, I thought you were good at this. I'm just like, dang.
Yeah.
Tough-ass crowd.
Yeah, right. Come on. That's funny. Those were always a good time, those volleyball fundraisers.
Yeah, shout out to them.
Let's move into volleyball talk with that being said, and let's just start off with this. Give the listeners some other volleyball slang or lingo that you and I maybe could feed off of each other. What is one of your favorite slangs in volleyball?
Oh my god, just a setter getting saucy. Like, it is just nothing better than just seeing a setter just like quietly just sauce that ball up to like a pin hitter or whatever. Like, nothing like it. Like, especially going to like the nationals and stuff like that. Or like, I mean, god, my favorite part of all volleyball, like the only things I'll ever remember throughout my volleyball career are probably like the two times that I got an assist by setting just some buttery pin set, and you just like come out of nowhere and smash it. Like, I don't even tell you I'm setting it to you. I just send her.
Right. Cause for so, and how uncomfortable did that look? Like, I don't know. That's how I just set the lineup, but right. It was, I think Nelly was always front row with us. So it'd be you, me, and I'm the shorter one. The tape is at my forehead and the bottom tape. Sorry. The bottom of the tape is at my forehead. You, on the other hand, the top of the tape is at your forehead, and then there's Nelly, right? Sometimes there's a bad pass. You're in the middle. And then not a lot of people, even, like, around my area know about this, or all the kids that I coach in the club, is that, like, when there is a nice set, you, all of our boys on the bench and on the court, we would just all yell, butter! Like, it was an absolute buttery, saucy set. And I still do that. So, like, when I'm playing in an adult league, like, you know, shout out to James Flores. I was on his team in Sierras a couple times. And when there's a nice set, or even from him, I'll just be like, oh, yeah, look at that buttery set, bro. And he's just like, what was it? You know, it's like, that set was great. Like, if it doesn't move, it's smooth like butter. Can't believe it's not butter. Or
yeah.
Like George. George would be like, can't believe it's not butter. And then boom.
Yeah.
And then we all just get rowdy. Yeah, that was great, man. So that's a good one, is celebrating
butter
the sauce.
Is just like, you're just reading that barcode. You can scan that barcode. It ain't
for
moving.
Sure. Every single time. And then you obviously are very familiar with all the house blocks and the block parties.
Oh my gosh. I remember you talking about this on one of the other episodes.
I think it was
FreeCheddar.com.
Yeah, like, dude. Yeah, I shouted George out. He listened to it too. FreeCheddar.com. No one knows what that means, but that's it. There it is. FreeCheddar.com.
Tommy and George had like this, all this food references. Like, George is like in the back row, just like, block party, eating hot dogs, baby. And you're just like, what is going
shaking
on?
Shaking his hips, right. Who's got
and
the
then
hot
Tommy's
dogs?
Back there like, yeah. Like the their best pin hitter will go up, and all of a sudden you look over, and Tommy's just a house and a half, just bouncing somebody's block, and all of a sudden he just turns around and just like, free cheddar.
Sometimes, like, honestly, sometimes after like the big house blocks, I remember like when you played against, I want to say it was Xavier that one tournament, I think it was at Ohio, and I mean you got like 12 in a row. I mean like all 12 points in a row were from like Davis's blocks or even soft touch blocks that we won, and there got to a point where sometimes we'd get a house block, or you, Tommy, or any of the big boys, tall guys, and it was just you turn around and just be a stone cold face. Like sometimes it's like the celebration is just looking pissed.
Oh yeah,
and that was always
like
a great
that
one
poor
too.
Poor kid, like mm-hmm. Yeah, like that kid's mom is probably in the stands, and you just absolutely embarrassed him
all the time. And and sometimes you just you turn around your team and you just the angry celebration was always a favorite as well.
Oh yeah, like people like Scott Gephardt, like they wanted to run you over. Like you might as well just start running the other direction.
Sometimes Tommy,
they don't
too.
Know how to celebrate.
Right. Sometimes yeah. Tommy too just gets so angry and it's like, oh, okay, I don't know what's gonna happen next. And then
well,
we have
side story of Tommy again, dude. Can I just give a side story? This is great. Tommy will love this. Side story of Tommy's just. Like low-key, doesn't know how strong he is, like gets angry out of random intense moments. Yeah. How about that one time at your old house where Nelly got so excited and hit him in the face, and Tommy just instinctively punched him square in the face right back at him.
So we're one of the best one of our volleyball functions, and right, our setter and Tommy Stark, the guy we had on recently, they were yeah, right. They were just messing with each other, and like Nelly, like kind of hit him in the face just for fun, and he just decked Nelly right back in his right in the side of the face, and it was like, "Whoa, man, why did you do that?" And he's like, "Oh, I was just kidding, guys."
And they like hugged it out, and like it was okay.
For some reason, it was okay. It was always weird. I don't know. Nelly was very good at the setter dump. That's another lingo for all you noobs out there. Set or dump, so when Nelly's pretending to set the ball and he tips it over, it forces it down the throat into the campfire. That's another good one, too. Where everyone, it's the ball is hit in the middle of the court, and it lands in, and all the defenders are looking at each other like, whose ball was that? And everyone's just gathering around the campfire.
Nobody wants it.
No.
Nothing better, though, like when you, like, tip it over and you get another team to campfire and like everyone stands around in a circle and like warms up their hands in the circle. Like,
yeah. Dude, it was great. Sometimes we were real mean when it came to the celebrations and the smack talk.
Oh my God. In nationals, during the row the boat time, we literally used to sit down on the ground and actually like row a boat.
Until that later on, like, we got no more guys, no more.
You can't have fun here.
It was always so great.
That's the one thing I didn't understand is that you just couldn't talk smack in volleyball. Like, I came from baseball where, like, you could talk as much smack as you wanted, and you get to volleyball, and, like, you're not allowed to even look at somebody through the net without that ref, like, blowing that whistle at you.
Right. And how weird was it that regardless of what was said and who felt what, you always felt like you were divided and that someone was on the other side of a wall. That, like, you couldn't touch them. Like, you felt untouchable on the other side of a net that's even raised up and the bottom is completely open, but yet you still were like, yeah, bro, like, come after me. You won't come across the net. And no one ever did. No one ever did. You're lucky. Like, you know, I could picture Daryl just being like, yo, man, you're lucky, like, I'm behind this net. Because, I you know, it was always stuff like that. Where how funny is it that a net, it's not even full size, doesn't even cover all the way to the floor, is dividing two teams, two male teams that are smack talking to each other. And it's like, man, you're lucky that this net is in the way.
Right. Like, you're lucky that 65-year-old ref has got that whistle up there.
Right. Dude, always watching.
But, like,
us.
Low key, like, you answered the own question, though. Like, the reason why nobody ever fought with us, I mean, we had Tommy, George, Daryl, like, you're shorter, but, like, you're stockier. Like, we were an intimidating-looking team. Like, nobody was going to come fight us.
Yeah, they all felt like...
Yeah, we're talking about the same thing. We all felt like we were invincible out there.
They looked at you tall guys, and it's like, man, like, these... We did look pretty intimidating. I mean... Davis, you wore pink shoes. Tell the listeners about your pink shoes.
Why? I don't even know why that started. It started in high school, man. Like, maybe the Jumps can incite you more on this when they come on, but, like, kind of started in high school. Like, it started with, like, God, here we go with more lame bowling. Your uniform would have, like, you just wear, like, an undershirt. So we started wearing, like, pink undershirts and then, like, just to do it, like, to kind of piss people off. And then...
Sure.
We implemented more pink things. So when we got into school, I like needed some like actual support for my wobbly giraffe ankles. So I had to get some high top shoes. And I was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to custom these things. So like I was just messing around, like going to make them the average colors. And I was like, you know what? That's lame. So I customized these hot pink with baby blue Nike logo shoes that were like size 15, like straight water skiing on Labor Day with these things. And God, I was just gumpy, like just running around out there like a big gump with my dangly arms. And all of a sudden, like I'd house block somebody, and like it just makes people so mad because I would just get so intense and just scream at them through the net. But like, what do you do? Like just a big guy with pink shoes.
The tall, noodly guy with pink shoes blocked you, and like, oh yeah, it was always the best because everyone would get pretty angry with you because obviously they would chirp back at you. I remember we played Bama. Shout out to Alabama. We played Alabama in the national championship. The one guy on the other side of the net's like, all right, we got toothpick coming around. Toothpick coming around, and you and I and like Daryl looked at each other and we're like, no, like that's not happening. And it's like, oh, Davis, and
you go.
Yeah, go ahead.
I literally think I remember you looked at me like we were stacked up, and you go, what did he just say? I was like, I think he just called me skinny.
Yeah, and my thing was always like, because everyone, you know, again, everyone thinks that net is there to, like, protect us. So it's always good because, you know, volleyball players aren't known as, like, the toughest kind of guys. But it's like, hey, man, you know, so the best thing that I always did or I try to do is when, like, someone is, like, talking crap about us or, like, they say something, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I would say – and I remembered saying this too. I looked at it. I'm like, oh yeah, Davis, he's talking about you. He must really like you, man. He's talking about you right now. And that's when they're like, oh man, they
just
heard.
Make people uncomfortable.
Yeah. They're like, oh, he heard me say something. Yeah, like, he did. He like kind of like shut up and he's like, oh, I shouldn't have, you know, they know now. And it's like, yeah, man. I'm like, what the heck? We have ears. It's a net. Like we're on the same court for gosh sakes. Like, why are you, what do you think that we can't, this is a soundproof gym. We can't hear you. So it's like, it's always okay. In my opinion, just to know that I heard you talk crap about me. I just want you to know that, but I heard.
Right.
And you always finish the job. You swept them up. They would try to hit over you, and you would just close the block party on them, and you're like, just get out. You'd shake the finger, no, you know, Hikime Mutombo, absolutely not, and then and then they shut up after that.
That was one of those situations where it would be like, well, you know they're setting that kid now, so like you could just cheat to the outside and like it'd be like me and Tommy blocking or Daryl and Tommy blocking.
Yep.
You're just like, yep, didn't even have to watch that. We'll chop that one down as a block.
Exactly, man. It was always great fun. Loved it. I still miss playing well with all you guys. It was a great time, man.
Best times of my life. Like, I'll never forget even the day that it all started when I walked up to you and you're just like, you should play middle. And I was like, I don't even know what that means, but I want to be in the middle of it. So
all right.
Let's go.
I want to be in the middle of it.
And then you're like, man, why not?
And then you were with myself. We were both, what, honorable mention for all conference or something? Our last year, our senior year.
I can understand how you got it, but I don't understand how I did that. It's probably just the pink shoes. People are like, oh, I don't know who.
that guy's
got pink shoes. I remember him.
No, man, it was all skill. You got really good. Absolutely. Let's move on.
Yeah, volleyball, best time.
So, such a great time. Let's move on to our top five and the rest of our segments for the show. So, Davis, why don't you introduce the top five we are going to do today?
All right. So Jake messaged me and was like, dude, let's do a top five. And I was like, wait, I'm supposed to come up with this? Like, I thought you told me what to say. So I came up with top five Sunday activities.
Yeah, yeah, let's go. We love Sunday. Everyone loves Sunday.
Oh, yeah. So I don't even have them in like a specific order.
Nope, that's
I just kind of got excited and started throwing them out.
Sure.
But I'll just rattle one off and then you can go.
Yeah, let's switch off. Yeah, no particular order. Go right ahead, my man.
Dude, I'm just going to start with the number one. This is, I mean, this might be number one no matter what.
All right.
Nap time. Nothing better than waking up super late or super early. It doesn't matter. Around 3 o'clock, if you're not, it's one of those days you're not doing much, you're going to doze off. Like,
Rep.
Just accept it. Like, the girlfriend's going to get mad at you. Are you playing Fortnite? Nope. I'm just napping. Leave me alone.
It's Sunday.
Yeah. It's Sunday. Leave me alone.
That's
boom. What's yours?
That's it, man. That was so great. That's one of mine too, was Sunday naps, because any other day of the week, like someone, I'm sure somewhere, somehow, they find a way to fit in a nap, whether it's half an hour, you know, on a Friday night, you know, after work, or a Saturday. But it nothing beats a nap on a Sunday. I mean, you just know that is
yes.
a day for laziness. And you're right. No one could get mad at you on a Sunday. Hey, man, sorry, I fell asleep. Oh, it's okay. It's Sunday. You know, so everyone's busy during the
exactly.
week. You got to recharge yourself for those Sunday naps. And yeah, that's why it's one
exactly.
of mine as well.
And sometimes you don't even earn it. You're just like, why am I so tired? Well, I was tired from that hella nap that I got on Saturday.
Sure.
Like, I'm not done napping.
Or you
like,
have to.
You got to love it.
For all the adults out there, you have to regroup yourself after, like, ooh, Friday night I stayed up a little bit later past my bedtime than the week, and now you have to make up for it because you lost sleep from Saturday night and Friday night. They're like, oh man, I'm really tired because I didn't get my correct amount of hours of sleep. So Sunday
exactly.
is your recovery day.
Exactly. And you
totally
don't even
agree.
Get excited about sleeping in anymore, because sleeping in is impossible once you like build a sleep schedule. Like the only thing you're excited for is to not wake up to that annoying alarm.
Exactly.
Like, you could wake up 5 minutes later than your alarm goes off, but like you're ready to go because like you didn't have to listen to that devil sound.
That
so like you get those. Yeah. So yeah, you get those naps in midday. People can't follow you.
Yeah. That's actually, I'm gonna cut you off. I'm gonna step into my next one because you mentioned it, and it
yes.
actually is sleeping in. So, back when I was younger, Sunday was the day for sleeping in. Now it's more transitioned to, you know, whatever day of the weekend if you have time with a nap. Who knows? But one traditional activity that I love to do on Sundays was sleep in. So I never have a problem when it's rain. I wake up Sunday and it's raining and it's crummy outside. I'm going,
oh,
yep.
Wow.
I am for sure going back to sleep.
Yep. Yep. And that'll segment me into my next one, because nothing better. You wake up on that Sunday morning. You're like, man, I just don't want to do anything today. It's raining. I'm going to sleep in. You wake up at around like 11 o'clock is when you finally crawl out of bed.
Yep.
For us East Coast guys, it was 1 o'clock football. But then you watch football at 1 o'clock, and you end up ordering a pizza, and then that nap comes in. Like, you just – that's the best day ever.
It's a routine. It totally is a routine, and you have to stick to that routine.
Exactly. So that's why my next one is football Sundays. Nothing better than waking up on a Sunday with your boys in that house that we lived in, and just like, let's go. The Lions are playing. The Bears are playing. Like, let's get going. Like, that is religion. You don't touch homework.
Nope.
Like, teacher, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you
don't.
Sorry.
Sundays were meant for football, in some opinions. Absolutely. Davis, this is really weird because my third one is watching football on Sundays. So
yes,
we have the same exact three.
Like, we were friends.
We were prepped. Yeah, we definitely have the same minds think alike. Football Sundays, I mean, nothing beats it. It's meant for football and then golf, honestly, as you get older, for those you start liking golf as well. So,
dude, you're segmenting me into my next one.
Well, that's okay, because that was – okay, so I was just going to say my third one was watching football, but, like, my honorable mention that I wanted to add on there is just with sports, but it's watching football and watching golf. So go ahead, Davis,
yes.
Segue to your fourth one. It sounds like, geez, man, it's like this is either really good or really bad. So go ahead. What's your fourth one?
Right. Like, dude, so you got me excited. I didn't mean to cut you off, but like golf, dude, one of mine was literally
great.
Masters Sunday.
Yep. That's great, man. That's
like,
that's a good one for sure.
I mean, like, how legendary of a day is it to just sit there and, like, it comes down and there's other people probably listen to this, like, you losers watch golf. Like, no, get into it and you will understand what we are talking about.
For sure. Sunday golf, and especially Sundays at the Masters. Oof.
Yes. Like, there's nothing better. Like, because you'll be watching the Masters on, like, Thursday or Friday maybe, and, like, you get all fired up. So then you go golf Sunday morning before you watch the Masters because the leaders don't tee off till, like, 5 o'clock nowadays.
Yep.
I don't understand it.
So good. But I'm glad you said that.
Perfect, dude. It's like we called each other before this, and, like, we're like, yo, it would be super cool if we had the same five.
And we didn't, listeners. We did not do that. It's just by coincidence. So why don't and this is okay. So that was my honorable mention because I actually have a different fourth one. I'm sure the last two will be different. My fourth favorite Sunday activity is, and I know it's going to be lame, but that's the time where I really like to hang out and, like, chill outside. So I know it sounds weird, but, like, summer when you maybe don't have a lot to watch on TV, it's not a crummy day that you can't take the nap you don't want to sleep in. Sunday, I find, is a good day for people, one, to either, like, run errands or to kind of tidy up the house and make, you know, and make things nice, prep for the week, honestly. But the other one is having somewhere with the windows down or taking a walk somewhere instead of driving or even riding your bike, for that matter. I feel like Sunday is another day because you don't do a ton like a Saturday would be, a lot of the rush of a Saturday. But on a Sunday, that's where you see a lot more people taking walks, or couples will, hey, let's go to a trail, or some people will go on a run on a Sunday and just being outside, especially when it's warmer out. My fourth favorite thing to do on a Sunday is really just kind of hang out outside instead of being inside, because we're inside for a majority of the week from our jobs, if your job is indoors or what have you. But that's when you have a day off. You really don't do the rush of a Saturday, and that's where you could chill, and that's where a lot of that relaxation could be from outside. So that's why being outside is one of my favorite Sunday activities.
And you learn to appreciate a Sunday more when you're, like, graduated and have a full-time job, because you only get two-day weekends.
Yeah.
Like, you're not starting on a Thursday.
For sure. Yep, so that's my fourth one. What's yours?
That's a solid one. That is a solid one. Thank for you. Sure. I could have segmented in this one with my nap one, but honestly, like, this is probably more about college. I mean, like, I'm living at home right now, so it probably doesn't fly with the ma and pa, but
right.
Not putting on pants.
Ooh.
Like, nothing better than just, like, being at school and, like, one of those rainy days and, like, you fell asleep with no pants on because, like, that's normal, right?
Right.
And then you wake up and like, you're like, well, I'm not planning on going anywhere. Like, if I'm getting pizza, I'm ordering it. Like, I'm about to go all day without putting pants on. Shout out to Rory. Rory would go all days without, like, shirts or pants on.
Shout
it was impressive.
Out to Rory.
I don't know what that kid does.
Rory.
Unreal.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, just being along with the laziness, right? No pants, no problems. That's it on a Sunday.
Right. Heck, yeah.
Love it. Was that your last one?
I think that was my fifth one. I think so. I had written down honorable mention of not doing homework because, like, nothing better than just, like, having a Sunday where you don't have to worry about, you know, a Monday problem.
Right.
Like, when you're a full-time adult, like, your Monday problem is solely a Monday problem. Like, nothing you can do about it on Sunday.
That's so true, though. That's, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's a good one, too. That was a great list. Nice job. Honestly, and it was a great list because I have very similar list. But that very good list, my last one is Sunday brunch. Whoa! Hey, Sunday brunch. So nothing beats it with adults going out for brunch on a Sunday, whether it's after a night out, whether it's with your girlfriends, or it's with a bunch of guys, go, let's go get some breakfast at a later time. That is what Sunday brunch is, as well as all y'all listeners listening to Sunday brunch on Bed and Breakfast. That's one of my favorite activities, too, listening to Sunday brunch on a Sunday. So if you haven't already, check out Bed and Breakfast, 2 episodes already of Sunday brunch. So it's half of that and half of legitimately Sunday brunch. So my last one, favorite Sunday activity, for sure, Sunday brunch. Give me some Bloody Marys, hand me some mimosas, and let's go.
I love brunch because I hate when people, like, at school, the first riser would wake up at, like, 9 and they're just like, oh, like, let's go out to breakfast and, like, waking people up. And you're like, you know what? Screw you, dude. Like, I'm not interested in waking up yet. Like,
yeah,
I'll go
yet.
When I'm up. When everybody's up, we'll rally the troops. And if I want to have some lunch, it'll be appropriate time.
2 o'clock?
I'm not forced to have a damn piece of French toast.
Mm-hmm. 2 o'clock, no problem. I still want scrambled eggs. Yeah, you got bacon, too? For sure. Let's go. Why not?
Exactly. Exactly. And if it's, like, 11:30, 11 o'clock, and I want a big burger because I can do what I want.
Yup.
I'm at school. Mom ain't here.
And that's cool. And it's Sunday. You could do that at Sunday brunch. It's wonderful. It's really a wonderful thing. Hashtag shout out to millennials. Us millennials, we love brunch. So hopefully that never dies anytime
soon. Yeah, then we Snapchat it or else it didn't happen.
Right, exactly. Good. So that was our, mine and Davis's, top five favorite Sunday activities. Davis, very, very good. Let's move on to our last couple of segments. We do this with every guest on the show. First one is your Pablo Sanchez All-Star of the Week. Whom is your Pablo Sanchez All-Star?
Dude, I got a couple quick ones just because
awesome.
I feel like they're really worthy. But I'll go back and give Fleury another shout out. Fleury
is
just, he deserves it. He's just like the playoff MVP. If they win the cup, he's the MVP for sure.
That's
good.
The
real Pablo Sanchez of the week, I found out, I read a story today with that Santa Fe shooting in Mexico or Texas.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Christian Riley Garcia, 15 years old, asked a girl a couple weeks before that if she wanted to go on a date. And based off the story, he might have got turned down. But a week or two later is when the shooting happened last Friday. And this guy, even though he got rejected by this girl, he put his body in front of this girl and the teacher, and his life was lost, but he saved these two ladies' lives.
Wow.
Like, shout out to that guy. So, like, in the moment, being able to be like, you know what? Like, their life, I'm going to sacrifice my own life for these people. Like, unreal. Can't even fathom what I would do in that situation, but for somebody to do that, yeah, I mean, prayers to that guy's family, but just unbelievable to hear, like, you know, people really do think about others like that. So, real topic right there. Had to get soft for a minute, but that guy is a hero.
Wow, so that guy, he jumped in front of the girl that he even asked out to?
Yeah, they were in, like, a closet. Like, they couldn't get out the back door for whatever reason. I don't know the details, but, like, they were in, like, a closet in the room, like, a four or five of them, and, like, they were all bunched up at the front, and, like, they couldn't lock the door, and so the guy just came in shooting, and, like, he just pretty much threw himself in front of the guy shooting and, like, made him shoot him. The other people were able to run out. Crazy.
Wow. Well, that is a big, big respectful move on that young man. And it is terrible for all of the victims that from that situation. So thoughts and prayers to everyone out there in Santa Fe, and especially to that fine young man. And, we hope the best for that area. It's not, you know, it's not ideal and it's not good. And I think we could all agree that we all hope for a change of some sort. But that is a great, great choice for the All-Star of the Week. Definitely. Definitely. Mine is on the sports side. Again, it's just touching up on the NBA playoffs now. And it was James Harden's dunk over Draymond Green. That it was, oh my goodness. And I couldn't believe it, honestly, because it looked like a move that a lot of athletes, especially, of course, in the NBA, that they could clearly do. But I was very shocked that Draymond took the step up and tried to block him, because you could see that he had the momentum in the fours going into the dunk. And it's like, oh, man, like, I don't know if Draymond should have gone up for that. And good God almighty, that was just some type of, whew, like, the whole bench cleared and everyone was kind of just covering their mouths and trying not to smile and laugh. And, like, you could just see the look on Draymond's face. He's like, oh, man, I should not have done that. And, whew, James Harden, that was a move, man. He went up strong, took it to the house, and finish it up with a poster. My, oh, my. That was great.
Yeah, you don't get many chances to posterize All-Stars and other people like that, because usually they recognize the situation and they get out of the way. But
in those big games, too, on TV, a lot of people are watching the game. Obviously, it's in the NBA playoffs. And my gosh, was it like disrespectful? Yeah. I mean, he didn't like do any moves.
Yeah, you could probably feel that person.
Yeah, like he just got up and all of his boys helped him up, but man, like everyone else around him was like freaking out and just getting hype and.
Yeah.
Man, it was crazy to watch. Yeah. So that's why he's my All-Star of the Week, because that is something everyone will be talking about for quite some time. The next one is...
Yeah, it totally was.
The next one is our Dupayash of the Week. So who did you find to be the Dupa of the Week?
Oh, God. I just got two good ones again. All right. Just got to whip them out. I saw this story that there was like this mysterious like bag or like duffel bag that was like placed on like a sidewalk or the side of a curb in like a town or like a city. I don't know where it was. And they like closed it down because they were like freaking out. Like, is it a bomb? Like, we don't want to go around it, all that stuff. And this guy riding his bike coming by was like, I need to get by this and I'm not going around. So this guy hops off his bike and runs into the caution tape and just starts grabs the duffel bag and just starts throwing the stuff that's inside of it out on the road and then throws his hands up like, okay, there's nothing in there. And the police just tackle him. Like,
why
you
did he
idiot.
Do that?
What if that would have just blew up in your face?
Yeah, what?
Like, you idiot. I don't know. Like, but I don't know. I can't even fathom that.
Weird,
the next one
yeah.
is even better. This guy, there's a, he was staying in a hotel. And he had not been taking his medication. He had been taking too much of the wrong medication.
Okay.
And they started smelling potatoes coming from his hotel room. So they bring up the manager, and the manager goes in there, and this guy had his hotel shower tub full of potatoes. And they said, why would you do that? And he said, I'm sorry. It felt like the right thing to do at the time. Like, what a clown.
What is he talking about?
Exactly. Like,
so hold on, let me get this straight.
Like, so
he took potatoes and he put, like, how many potatoes are we talking?
Like, I'm talking like enough that like people were complaining about the smell of potatoes in the hotel.
And was he watering them? Like, was he cleaning them? What was he doing?
He was in super overdrugged on some whatever. It didn't even say what he was on, but like, oh, he was obviously not mentally stable.
Sure. And he said, I just thought that was the right idea at the time.
Oh yeah, that's the only reason I picked it. I mean, that quote just makes the story, like, gotta love it.
Eyes, face palm, unbelievable. Why? I don't know. Yep. Why? No one knows why. It doesn't matter. It's okay. But
he's my dude, my gosh.
Yeah, those were two interesting stories about very strange individuals doing questionable things. Another great segue into my Dupayash of the Week is us. We're humans. Humans are my Dupayashes of the Week. And I don't even have to say mine because your two stories could easily fulfill that requirement. But mine... My reason on why humans are, is because this is a source from Common Dreams. They typed out an article stating that we as humans, though we are less than 1% of life that is on planet Earth itself, we as humans killed off more than half of the plants on Earth, as well as 80% of mammals. And we as humans are less than 1% of Earth life, just things in general. And we killed off half of plants and 80% of mammals. So way to go us. We seem to keep messing all kinds of things up. We're growing potatoes and just running into mysterious backpacks and just tossing the items to all the other individuals around us. Absolutely,
unreal.
In my opinion, ridiculous.
Humans, man, you gotta love them. Everyone has dumb moments, but they're just some dumb people in the nicest way possible.
Yeah, like, it's just, I don't know what else to say. I know there's more to the story and more to that statistic itself. Obviously, we've been on Earth for quite some time, but I just wish we could do a better job of our time here and make use in a healthy way of the plants and the mammals and respect everyone's life and, you know, the mammals' lives and what we use plants for. But I did, I know that's here nor there, you know, part of this amateur podcast. We need to get super real. But, yeah, like, that's, come on, bro. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, why is that even, that's what we're doing? Us as humans, we're killing off more than half of the plants that are here and 80% of the mammals, 80%. Those two pieces of data are incredibly high, in my opinion.
Exactly. It is incredible. And honestly, it's just, even though, less than 1% of the life on Earth, that's a little weird. But you think there's honestly just too many of us, and that's the problem. Like, mm-hmm. we just don't know what to do with ourselves, so people are just bored.
Sure. No, I mean, you're absolutely right. There is definitely an increase in population with all countries. So that's why, sorry.
People are just breeding.
Yeah, sorry to us as humans, but we're on the Dubaiyash list for the week. But hopefully we could be better. The next one is our Mitch Trubisky Hidden Hero Award. So who did you find to be your hidden hero?
I also said the guy grabbing the duffel bag because he sped up the process of the road closed for other people.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so you got
Loki, the hidden hero. Jeez. But no, on a serious note, like the Vegas coach is a hidden hero. That guy got fired last year, like a year or season or two ago, and now he's in the Stanley Cup finals. Like, yep. Hidden hero right there. Like,
yeah, that's a good one.
Guy's killing it.
Very much respectful choice. I like that. Mine is about a man named James Harrison. I don't know if you heard about him or not, or listeners, you may have, but James Harrison is from Australia, and for more than 60 years, he has been donating blood through the Red Cross, Australian Red Cross, and why it's so important, not just the fact that he's been doing it over 60 years, but he has saved more than 2.4 million babies, and I'll explain why.
Wow.
It's because there is something in his blood called anti-D, I don't know, but pregnant women need that for the baby. His blood, and it's very rare, and there's not a lot of people that have it, but his blood was carrying that anti-D in his system. And at the start, years ago, of course, they were using him as like a guinea pig to see if it would work, and it did. So his blood, when it was injected into pregnant women, and obviously it would go to the baby, it would help that development for that child. And so women were constantly requesting for this man's blood. So like every week he would go in and donate blood, and he saved more than 2.4 million babies. And I just think that's astronomical and one of the most like phenomenal stories I've ever heard, that this one man alone on his own would just go in and donate blood every single week. And why this is coming up in the news right now is because he officially has to stop doing that because he met the requirement for the age that you're allowed to do that. But 2.4 million babies, wow. Like kudos to him. He's definitely well deserved of the Hidden Hero Award. His name is James Harrison.
Oh yeah. That is unreal right there. Can you imagine being told like, yo, you have the magic blood, you can save so many lives? I'd
How
be like,
awesome
oh yeah,
that?
Just lay
yeah,
me down
yeah.
and funnel it out.
For sure. Like for everyone here, whoever needs it, let's go. I'll save you. He saves lives. He saved all these lives, and like it's very heartwarming, and you just love hearing about cool stories like that. And like, he's just your average dad. I think he did it to his wife and his daughter when they were pregnant as well. So like, yeah, it's just an awesome story, honestly. So I have to give my kudos to James Harrison, Mitch Trubisky Hidden Hero. There you have it.
That is a great one right there. That is a winner.
Thanks, brother. Well, that was all of our segments for the show. Davis, thank you very much for coming on. We always end with this last question for all my guests. And it's about my little brother, Ben.
Benny Ben.
Yep, going off to college. And what advice do you have for him going off to school?
He's going to Purdue, right? Isn't that recently announced?
Correct. Yes, he is.
Oh, that's how you boiler up. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so if I remember right, I'm pretty sure West Lafayette out there at Purdue adopted a Two Fellas location. So you have to take advantage of that.
Nice.
I don't know if there's any other location besides Western, so you got to find that location.
Yep, but two follows for sure. One,
honestly, just don't stress out about being poor. Like, I'm not sure. I've missed a couple episodes, so I'm not sure if someone's brought this one up.
No.
But you're not going to have a lot of spending money. Your parents might help you out more than you feel like you want them to, and you're going to feel really bad about it. And you're just going to be literally scraping the edge of the barrel at times. But honestly, like, don't stress out. Like, it's easier said than done. But, like, you're supposed to be poor. Like, people probably think you're cooler if you're poor in college. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah.
No, but that's great. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, just straight up, don't stress over the money. You got the rest of your life to worry about what you want to do and how you're going to make, you know, money for all that for yourself and support yourself and a future family and all that. Just clown it up at school and eat a bunch of two fellas. That's all you got to worry about for four years and study a little bit on Sundays.
That's great. That's a great piece of advice. Cause right. How many times we're like, yo, like I don't have any money. I can't do this. But right. I think Sam Smeltzer mentioned it too, but like it costs $5. You have $10 in your account. You might as well go ahead and do it. Like somehow, some way things will work itself out, but you should just go and not worry. You're right, because how many times have we all of us, everyone honestly is worried about affording things in college. I mean, there's so much you want to do and so little money that you have.
Exactly. Like, there's a time and a place where you're going to really need to seriously worry about that, but college, like, just soak up the education, you know, really focus on the school, but, like, don't worry about trying to fit in a job in there. Like, awesome. It's not for everybody and their schedule.
Awesome, man. That's great. That is like, that's a very important piece of advice. I really respect and appreciate that. And Ben, you heard it there. Don't worry about money so much, and other listeners, if you're worried about that as well. Davis, nice job, man. I like that.
Yeah, I'm here all week. I'll take personal calls. I'll therapist you right through it.
Absolutely. We'll take those calls from you as well. So Davis, thank you very much for coming on the show. For all of you listeners, be sure to subscribe on Spotify or iTunes, Bed and Breakfast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bed Breakfast Pod. That's at Bed Breakfast POD. Mention us if you like the episode, if you want to talk about something on the episode. Mention it to us and let's start a conversation about that. And next week, we're going to have Brandon Beachman on the show to talk about things I'm sure he loves to talk about, like golf and the Lions. But tune in next week for Brandon. And Davis, I want to thank you again for coming on the show, dude. I really appreciate it. You did great. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, buddy. Number 12. Don't forget.
Episode number 12. That's right. All right, Davis. Thank you very much, man. I will talk to you soon.
See you, brother.